And welcome to the Extended News at Noon. Listeners, Tyler Friel with you on WISR 680 AM. We are continuing on with our election coverage as we are interviewing and highlighting candidates involved in local races. And today we will be focusing on the 10th House District, which includes portions of Northern Butler County as well as Beaver and Lawrence County. We are first talking to the incumbent, and that is Republican Aaron Bernstein, who joins us via telephone. Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time and welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. Appreciate the opportunity.
Aaron, I want to start with this. Last week, there was a story after video surfaced of you and your son in it. You were brought it to national headlines, for that matter. Your son in it allegedly smoking a cigar. Also, there were disparaging comments made about women during that video. Leaders in your own party have called on for you to resign. You have said you want the voters to decide your fate. Essentially, my question to you is, after these videos have surfaced, why should people elect you back to another term in office?
Yeah, great question, and thanks for the opportunity to address this out of the gate. At the end of the day, these were private messages and private videos that were taken and then leaked to the press. And I always start to, number one, they were wrong and inappropriate. Okay, I openly admit that and have apologized for that. The other thing I'd say is that, people make mistakes every day. And I often wonder, somebody told me the other day, they said, geez, if you walked up to any person and said, give me your entire cell phone, and I'm going to look through your private messages and pictures and things like that, and then publicize them online, I wonder how that would work out. And I think most people wouldn't be standing at the end of the day if that were the case. But at the end of the day, I'm held to a higher standard. But they were private messages that were taken and leaked to the media. And I apologize for that. But ultimately, what our focus is really on is continuing the work in the 10th District of Butler, Beaver, and Lawrence counties, focusing on jobs, some of the great things that we've done and worked very hard in the Slippery Rock area, particularly in Slippery Rock Borough and Slippery Rock Township, and really just focusing on whatever we can do in order to help our region get better.
And to that point, I think as maybe voters are sitting at the polls and they're wondering who can be the most effective legislator for their district, again, leaders in your own party wanted you to resign. And so there's, I think, going to be a question among voters, how can you effectively legislate and be an effective voice for those in the 10th district?
Yeah, great question. So a lot of this is just party nonsense and baloney and some of the things that they said and did to President Trump. If you remember out of the gate, it was, we'll never work with the president, we won't do these things, and then ultimately the president won, and you have a lot of those people that came around. The truth is that what these people are saying in public is not what they're saying in private. Those same people that called for my resignation are being helpful behind the scenes and doing everything they can do to help make sure that we keep that seat in a pro-Second Amendment, pro-life, pro-business growth person, and that's me. And, I wish politics didn't work like that, but unfortunately it does. And, I think that people are sick and tired of that type of political nonsense. But like I said, our focus is on the people of the 10th District and being effective, just like we have done for the last 3 years and 10 months. And we'll continue to do that for the next 2 years moving forward.
And just to clarify then, again, after calls for resignation from party leaders, you're effectively staying in this race the rest of the way, right?
Yeah, listen, this is a situation where they're saying one thing in public and another thing in private. It's politics as usual with the bureaucrats in charge. And, same thing they did to President Trump. We're not going to abide by those types of things.
Okay. And again, we're here with the incumbent for the 10th House District. That is Republican Aaron Bernstein. I want to get to some policy questions in regards to the campaign. Obviously, COVID-19 is at the forefront of the discussion on a national and state level. And there's a lot of questions about how to move forward. And so we have seen discussions regarding what Governor Wolf has done in the past and a rehashing of that. I think there's a lot of voters curious as to how Pennsylvania is going to move forward. How do you, if you are to be reelected, how will you handle this current crisis? What do you think the best way is to navigate the public health concerns, but also making sure economically the state is in a good shape?
One of my greatest concerns is the budget gap, and we have between a $3 and $6 billion budget gap as we're heading into the last part of the budget. that is a huge issue. I'm a heck no on raising taxes, and cuts need to be made. But until we get this economy open, there's going to be drastic cuts that are going to impact people's lives. And that's the importance in getting the economy open. A $3 to $6 billion budget deficit is a huge deal. And that's why we really need to focus on getting this economy open so we can do that. A great example of these types of things is right in Slippery Rock with the university. They're doing a great job there, really recruiting a lot of students. But there's not going to be the funding available because of the economy being shut down for these students. And we have to make sure that we're doing everything that we can do to make sure that we have an economy open in a safe way. They're not two separate things when we talk about having safety and people being able to be safe while also being able to be free and go about their daily lives. I think that you can conjoin the two and have a lot of success in there.
And I think when people hear you say no to taxes, you had mentioned there's going to be cuts to be made. You've been a member of the legislature now for 4 years. Are there programs out there that you think can actually be trimmed to help balance this budget for the state of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I think they are, but I'm very straightforward with people that those are going to be painful, and people are either going to need to pay more money to the government, or we're going to have to make cuts to things. And I am not into taking more money out of people's pockets. So, we've already started to evaluate some of those programs, and we'll continue to do so as we move forward with the budget process.
I want to talk about education. You bring that up about Slippery Rock University, obviously a major higher education institution inside the 10th House District. The state system of higher education doesn't have a whole lot of money in the bank right now. We're seeing partnerships amongst those 14 state schools. How do you view the state and how they should be funding these 14 schools? And a second part to that question, are 14 schools sustainable anymore at the state level?
Well, I think the bigger difference, and I'm not trying to not answer your question, but I think that Slippery Rock is very different than the remainder of those other schools. Slippery Rock is growing. Slippery Rock is doing a great job on fiscal management. Slippery Rock has good leadership. And Slippery Rock has exceptional students and exceptional educators there with the staff and the faculty that is teaching. And they're doing a great job of offering programs. I tell you, I've been around a lot of universities throughout my life, and I go and I visit these different places and talk to them. And Slippery Rock is really second to none. And it really starts with the students and the great educators that are there. So taking that model and applying it across for the other universities, I think, is critical. Now, that being said, I'm not so sure that all 14 of them can be viable. So we need to make sure that we're doing everything that I can do in order to support Slippery Rock and make sure that the positives that are coming out of Slippery Rock are not being stripped down by the negatives in the other 13 universities.
And one of the, at least here on the western side of the state, you know, a lot of western Pennsylvania students would graduate high school and move on to one of these institutions, whether that be Slippery Rock, Cal, Clarion, IUP, whatever it may be. There's just not a whole lot. There's not as many kids graduating high school as there used to be, not because they're, you know, failing out, but just there's not as many kids. There seems to be a bit of a population, I don't want to say problem on this side of the state, but there's not population growth in Western PA. Is there any things that you can do legislatively to tackle that and perhaps bring a booming inflection of people into Western Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I think the cracker plan is a huge step in that and trying to expand on that. But also, once again, I'm going to go back to Slippery Rock with this particular instance. Slippery Rock is bringing students in from all over the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and Eastern Ohio. And then they are staying here and working. So Slippery Rock is a huge part of that, and they're a great partner. They're a great economic partner, not just an educational partner, but an economic partner here for Western Pennsylvania.
We're talking to Republican incumbent for the 10th House District, and that is Aaron Bernstein. Aaron, want to talk about the size of the legislature. There's 203 state representatives in the state of Pennsylvania. They all draw a salary approximately about $88,000. That's one of the most highest paid legislatures, and it's one of the most staff-filled legislators. Do you believe that it is necessary to have this many state representatives in Pennsylvania?
I don't. And that's why I've been such an advocate for reducing the size of the legislature. We have 203 members in the House, 50 in the Senate. I think 50 in the Senate is about right, and could easily split that 203 in half and go down, you know, to about half of that 101 or so in the House of Representatives. And I've advocated for that. I've voted for that. Unfortunately, what you have is career politicians in the establishment on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, that aren't putting people first. And, you know, we talk about the salaries and we talk about the expenses, but the real meat of this is in the long-term pension program that exists for these legislators. And that's why I actually rejected the pension. I am not a member of the pension system because I don't think that people should be paying for politicians for the rest of their life. So I rejected that pension program. And to be honest with you, I'd never vote for anybody that doesn't reject the pension program moving forward. That's how serious I am about that. And how serious I am about trimming the legislature.
Well, and then how do you believe is the best way to go about it? Because this vote has been brought up time and time again, and it gets a number of votes, but it never gets across that threshold. How do you actually reduce the size of the legislature if these career politicians that you had mentioned are there voting against shrinking that legislature?
Yeah, the real blunt is ask the simple question. Number one, are you rejecting the pension and the perks? And if they answer no to that question, don't vote for them. And I'm not just talking in my district. I'm talking across the Commonwealth. And I know a lot of people outside of my district listen to this radio, but ask the people if they're in those programs, if they didn't term limit themselves. I term limited myself to a maximum of 4 terms or 8 years. I think that term limits are very important that we have with this, and that's how you ultimately change the system. I am encouraged by the new people that are coming in and the newer folks that are coming in. We have much less career politicians that are coming in, and some of those career politicians are really on their way out. So we're getting closer and closer every session. But, you know, to have voters, I think voters need to hold their elected people accountable and ask those simple questions. Number one, are you term limiting yourself? If you're not, don't vote for them. And number two, are you rejecting the pension, the lifetime health care plan, the state car, the per diem, those types of things that have people stay there forever? And if they're not doing those things, then to be honest with you, they just don't deserve the vote because they're not a regular citizen.
One of the pushbacks you hear from those who are career politicians is the argument that, hey, I know the system, I know how it works, and I can make sure I'm a good voice for those in my districts because I know how Harrisburg works. What do you say to those who are saying, I'm an effective legislature, I just happen to draw a salary that, you know, the state fits for me, I draw a pension that fits for me?
Yeah, I can tell you this, that in my experience in the last 3 years and 10 months or so that I've been there, is the most effective legislators are those that have just started and have been there less than 10 years. Once they hit that 10, 12, 14-year mark, they really sit back and rest on their laurels. They're not aggressive, and it's all about just staying in office. So I can tell you in my personal experience, that is not an accurate statement.
We're here with Republican House incumbent, that is Aaron Bernstein of the 10th District. Aaron, Pennsylvania has been at the forefront of the national discussion in regards to the election. There was bipartisan support for election reform in late 2019. There seems to be a little bit more controversy surrounding some of that and how we're legislating right now, gearing up for this election. Do you believe that the election laws as they are now are suitable? And do you believe, or if you don't, then what type of reforms would you like to see?
Yeah, I think we're in a decent place. It's not perfect, but at the end of the day, I'm confident that we will have a accurate count of the election in Pennsylvania. And then, we'll obviously, we always go back to the drawing board after each and every election and see what worked and see what didn't. But you know, I'm confident in the sanctity of the vote, and I'm confident that people have an opportunity to go vote and their voice be heard.
And last one for you, Aaron, is what would be the major legislative accomplishment that you would like to get done in this next 2-year term? A lot of people, when they get into public life, say, this is my passion. This is what I want to get done. Is there an objective? Is there a legislative goal that you would like to get done over the next 2 years?
Yeah, without question. And actually, I would anticipate in the next couple of weeks, we're going to get both of these things done. But previously, we passed a ban on an asset tax, and that is something that people could go in and they would tax your bank accounts, a variety of different things on any asset that you have. So that was one of the big things that we set out to do. We were successful in that. We also have Markey's Law that has people, if they commit violent crimes in prison, we make sure they stay in prison. And that has passed the House of Representatives. It's currently in the Senate. I'm hopeful that'll get out, but we don't know. If not, we'll go back to work, the drawing board on that. And then the third thing is our transparency bill. It deals with the Sunshine Law and making sure that those agendas are out there ahead of time so people can see what folks are voting on. Both of those two that I just mentioned have passed the House, and they're currently in the Senate. We're hopeful they get done. If they do, great. If they don't, we'll be back at it to try to push those things forward as we move into the next election cycle.
He's the Republican from the 10th District seeking re-election, Aaron Bernstein. Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, my friend, and always great to speak with you.
Coming up after the break, we talk to the Democratic nominee. That is Colby Cole. That's all coming up right here on the Extended News at Noon on WISR 680 AM.